Hey guys, it's the end of round five and we're back for another Piper M's rap show. And I've got my usual guest, Richard. How are you?
I'm well, thanks, David. And yourself?
Yeah, I'm okay. We've gone back to the old style. I'm doing it on the PC rather than the laptop again. So hopefully the sound quality is just as good. But yeah, we'll see how we go. So the other thing is, because my laptop's having a bit of a vacation, is that you have all the 3-2-1s, so I might have to go across to you every so often and you might have to read them out, which is, yeah, it's not too bad. I suppose it's all right. Do you want to start from Storm Broncos?
Yeah, for the Storm, 3 points to Hughes, 2 to Katoa, and 1 to Paps.
Mm-hmm.
And for the Broncos, it was 3 to Mam, 2 to Carrigan, and 1 to Jesse Arthurs.
Yeah, so the turning point, I saw someone, I think it was Terry did this one, and he said the turning point was when Brisbane went for the 2 points. I think there was a couple of turning points here, but yeah, this is just a crazy game. Bearing in mind for me that I had the Broncos for the 52% and I'm trying to not win, so I was nervous for a while because yes, the Broncos were winning. But yeah, what a strange game this one was.
It was a utterly bizarre game from start to finish, but super high entertainment. It was probably the most entertaining game of the weekend for most. There's probably another one which most people enjoyed a lot more for certain reasons. But yeah, this one, super high entertainment. Two really contrasting styles as well. Yeah. You have the Storm, who were sort of more hit it up, and their forwards were a lot better than the Broncos forwards overall, but then the Broncos just broke from the back and could score long range crazy tries from anywhere, and their backs were really, really exciting. And the Broncos went after Warbrick a little bit, who had a tough night out. He scored a nice try late on, but he had a really tough night. But the Storm was sort of, you know, just targeting that middle and then trying to get it out when they could, but it was really through the middle where they did their damage. So it was and Hughes just had, he just controlled everything. And he had Katoa and Grant as well. I had him, Harry Grant, down as a possible 1 point as well, because he was just fantastic.
Yeah, it's I think when everyone thought when Munster and Hughes were coming back that it would be a slam dunk for him, and especially Broncos, well, in truth, but I think the Broncos had pretty good account of themselves. I know they're grand finalists last year, but I still keep saying the same thing. I just don't understand why the Broncos are good now and they weren't 2 years ago. But yeah, it's anyway. Yeah, so I don't. I've got.
A big thing about the Broncos is the belief. The belief that they're doing the right thing, and you could see a couple of years ago they didn't believe, they didn't trust what they were doing, they don't think they trusted each other. But now they do, and when someone goes down, the others just seem to sort of go, right, okay, let's get stuck in. And Walters, obviously, just, I think he's come out of his shell and he makes a big difference to them as well. So,
yeah, definitely. Okay, so probably best to move on to the next one. So we're going to enjoy talking about this one. The boxing, it's the Roosters. So my dad's actually went to hospital, so I was driving over the hospital I was driving my mum over in the middle of that rainstorm, and the Bulldogs were leading ridiculously. Was it 26-0, 22-0?
26-0.
Yeah.
26-0 at halftime, yeah.
And then I got in the car, and all of a sudden the commentary, it was ABC commentary. It might have been Andrew Moore, but he was just going absolutely mental about how the Bulldogs were throwing this game away and they were going to lose and all this sort of stuff. And then they held on, which I was very surprised about, because the way that he was describing it looks like sounded like the Roosters were going to score 50 in the second half.
Yeah, look, I'll do the votes first of all.
Yeah.
Big Bill Kickout got 3 and absolutely deserved them. Burton was 2 and Marnie was 1, I disagree with that. Kiri, for the Roosters, Kiri got 3, Crichton got 2, and Egan Butcher got 1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look, this was a hard game, especially for a Roosters fan. It was a hard game to watch. Very first set, it may have been the first or second tackle, the Roosters knock on and they challenge the referee's decision of a knock on. Now, stupid thing to do. They did it a couple of weeks ago against South and got away with it. But it's a stupid thing to do to challenge that early. Back your defence and play. But Young, who had a horror of a game, challenged it. And when you watched the video, when you watched the replay, I was like, oh, okay. Well, there's a dog's hand. Young turns around, pushes the ball backwards to the fullback, and there's no harm done. Teddy picked it up cleanly. Okay, they're going to win this challenge. And the bunker goes, no, he knocks on. And you're like, oh, okay, my brain hurts. I don't understand what's going on. So they lose their challenge. Now, yeah, okay, sometimes the way that the bunker interprets knock-ons can go either way, as we saw later in the Manly game. Yeah, if it's that early, just don't challenge. And there were three or four things in the second half they probably could have challenged, which probably would have won them the game. So they shot themselves in the foot massively doing that. And then they did stupid things, the Roosters, in that first half. The Dogs perfectly targeted Young defensively, and Kikau just had a field day with him, and they ran in a billion and one meters down that channel, down his side. And but you know, it's one of those games where everything that could go wrong did go wrong. There was Young got sent off deservedly, so stupid bloody thing he did, rushed up the line and left his feet and whacked the guy straight in the head. I mean, it's a send off every other week. But then you've got concussions to Teddy, concussions to Walker, things going wrong everywhere. They couldn't get their shit together. And when they finally did, it was going up through the middle and playing in the forwards and not trying to throw it out to the wing on the first tackle every time, which just keeps getting swallowed up. The Roosters are very side to side. They're trying to get out wide to their wingers and they're not earning field position. They're not playing through the middle. They're not doing... They've got a good forward pack and they're refusing to use them. I don't understand it. Yeah. It's frustrating the hell out of me. But anyway, there you go. And yeah, so... It all went wrong until Brandon Smith and Luke Keary started playing well together. And if they can replicate that, they can turn it around.
Yep. I don't know what the turning point was. It sounded like it was the turning point was going to be half time until the Bulldogs actually won it.
It was the Collins offload. That's what they said in the chat. The Collins offload was the turning point. I personally think it was the ridiculous sin bin to Radley, which was more on reputation than anything else. It wasn't a hip drop or anything like a hip drop, or it wasn't anything. He left his feet a little bit, but he pulled the guy down, and it was just stupid. It was just a really bad decision by the bunker, but they seem to sort of send those people off the field for that sort of stuff.
Yeah, very true.
Oh well, but Collins offload, and then and also not having, to me, it was the fact that they didn't have the opportunity to challenge. There was a knock-on late. It could have been Rooster's ball. If they had challenged it, they probably would have done it. They had a minute 45 to go, and they could have gone for the kill. And in the end, it just, fizzled out.
Yeah. All right. Probably best to move on for that one. Let's go to the next one. So it's the Knights against the Dragons. This one also on the Friday night. This one looked like the old style, kids running out the middle of a rainstorm to slide in the mud. It was pretty exciting for just how wet it was up there.
Yeah, Jake Duke said it was as wet as Sharknado, or as adverse conditions as Sharknado, which I don't know if it was, but it was certainly fun to watch. It was a joyous game to watch because it was just so crazy. It was absolute madness. It was fantastic. So Ponga got the 3 points for the Knights. Cogger got the 2 points for the Knights. Hastings got the one. And for the Dragons, 3 to Hunt, 2 to Frank Marlowe, and 1 to Little.
Yeah. So that was me judging that. So I can't say anything bad against it.
I absolutely agree. Molo was fantastic, and so was Little for the Dragons. You probably could have made an argument for Lomax.
Yeah.
But the errors, just seven
the
errors.
The errors in the second half were so bad. He was, just for that pass, he was getting a point. Then I just went, I can't give him a point. He's just too many stupid things. you know, you just can't.
It was crazy.
I don't know what he was doing, but he was doing some stupid stuff. So I was like, look, you can't give him points for that. Yeah, look, Newcastle were just too good. There was no real turning. I didn't write a turning point, I don't think. I just think that Newcastle were just too good for him. So
it was Cogger's short kicking game in the wet.
Hmm.
With all those grubbers in and around the end goal, that it created opportunities for errors. And when the errors came, the Knights just jumped on the ball.
Yeah.
And that was it. It was that mayhem and that craziness in the wet. Everyone sliding around, trying to keep their feet. And Cogger was just too clever for them.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
They definitely deserve points.
All good. Okay, so next one was the Rabbitohs against the Warriors. Rabbitohs crashed to another loss, which I don't want to say I told them also, but I didn't think South were going to do that well this year, and like at the moment it feels like I'm right.
Yeah, look, as a Roosters fan, the only thing that keeps me from not wanting to end it is how bad the Rabbits are going. So, you know, it's always a joyous thing for me when they're losing. So I kind of enjoyed this game. I had a mate who was at the ground who was messaging me, and he's a Warriors fan, so they were happy messages.
So I've got the 3-2-1s because it came from Big T. So it's Egan with 3, Johnson with 2, and Barnett with 1. And for the Rabbitohs, it's Murray with 3, Totoa with 2, and Host with 1. I feel like Cameron Murray is going to score the 3 for South every week, but it's not going to count for anything every week. So it's sort of a bit of a poison chalice in a way.
Yeah, he's playing a little bit of a lone hand, really. I thought Tane Milne was okay for them, and Keon was kind of okay for South as well. But watching this game, I just wrote three words, disjointed and no cohesion. That was all I wrote next to South. They didn't seem to want to be, there's no togetherness in that team. And I don't know quite but what was going to turn that around, but they don't seem to be playing as a unit together at all. Whereas you compare that to the Warriors, and all they are is togetherness. There's no one in their team that sort of stands out head and shoulders above everybody else. Like, I'm the number one person. Maybe Egan a bit. But really, across the board, there's just strong performances every week across the board. You look at their forward pack, and Barnett had a great game. Harris has a good game. Fenua Blake has a good game. And in the backs, RCS and Berry and Chance. And the next week, it'll be Pompey and Montoya. And, you know, there's just a cohesion and a system and something about that team that they just seem to play for each other and play well. And it's more, they seem to be bigger than the sum of their parts, if you know what I mean. They're a really, really good team to watch because they just play for each other.
Yeah.
And it's so entertaining to watch.
They are very good. And I'm glad that it wasn't a one-shot thing last year, because I don't want the Warriors to kind of just have... Yeah, the Warriors of the past have been like, you know, one year is good and then the next two are not so good. And, you know, I mean, then they've got to rebuild again, and then they're sort of... You know, they're relying on one guy and that sort of thing. And they're not really doing that anymore, which is really good for them. I really think their coach was a astute pickup getting him.
100%.
Yeah. And it's pretty good. I'm happy for the Warriors fans. I don't want them to play well in the round that they play my team, but they can play well every other round. So.
Yeah, look, I don't even mind if they play well against my lot. They're such a joy to watch, and long may it continue.
Yep, definitely. All right, so next one was, I suppose, the surprise result of the weekend. The Seagulls beating the Panthers. Maybe we're just 1 week too late with the Panthers, you know, can't win without Cleary. So, yeah, maybe it's just the Seagulls. The Roosters can't do it, but the Seagulls can.
Yeah, the Roosters... Again, it's styles make matchups, and you said it last week that someone with a long kicking game is going to trouble the Panthers, whereas the Roosters against the Panthers, the Roosters were trying to spin it out wide, and the Panthers were able to shut it down. The Manly were not doing the same thing. Where Manly were really strong was when the bench changed and Brown and Sipley came on. They just had too much for the Panthers, and they just outgunned them in the middle late on in that second half, in that first half. And then they carried it on again late on in that second half. And it was the power game more so than just getting out to wide fast guys that really created the space for the ball to go wide to those fast guys. So yeah, fantastic from the Seagulls. They were just brilliant. Yeah. They were entertaining.
Have you got the 3-2-1s off? That's your one.
I did. And I did this game, and I gave 3 to Nathan Brown, which will really please Mario. 2 to DCE, and 1, I could have named 6 players, really, in 7 players in their 3-2-1s. I gave it to Olakau'atu, but Burbo, Waddell, Sipley, Kula, Tom, they all had fantastic games. I could probably have given 2 or 3 points to 6 or 7, 8 players in that team. That was a real, that was the epitome of a team performance. They just were so good, and they worked for each other, and they just gave the Panthers trouble. And the Panthers forwards were, there was a bunch of Leota, Kenny, Eisenhuth. They missed Henry. Henry obviously went off with the HIA, but they had nothing in the forward pack. Yo tried a bit. Martin had a couple of goes. I think Garner, but for the Panthers, the 3-2-1s were Edwards, Toto. Oh, sorry, Garner and Toto. So Garner was their best forward.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, I had, as a lot of guys at my work are very happy when the Seagulls won. Yeah, no, it was interesting one. I don't think anyone expected it, but it's going to be interesting when the Panthers have to play again. And I think the poor old West Tigers the next time have to play them, which is not good for them.
The turning point was the 52nd minute.
Yeah.
Luke Garner blocked Ben Trbojevic for a Manly penalty instead of a Penrith try. Once that happened, Penrith went down the other end, 54th minute. It's cherry ripe time, 20-12 to Manly, and Manly never looked back from there. So that non-try to Penrith and then a try to Manly, that 12-point turnaround in the 52nd minute, that was everything.
Yeah. Let's go to the next one. So I mentioned the West Tigers. I believed in Benji, and I probably, maybe I shouldn't have. So the Dolphins just too good for the West Tigers. I saw some of this game, and they just, I don't know, the West Tigers just weren't there for me. They looked like they were, they looked like they weren't even the contest, and I'm surprised it was only 26-16.
Look, the Dolphins got out to an early start, and the Tigers sort of steadied the ship a little bit and tried to come back into it, but I think once the Dolphins were sort of ahead, that was sort of comfortably ahead, if you know what I mean. But the Tigers tried, and there was effort there, and there was, you know, something to hang their hat on. It wasn't a beating that it could have been after a couple of early scores for the Dolphins. So, you know, good on the Tigers for hanging in there. And for the Dolphins, 3 points to Katoa, 2 to the Hammer, and 1 to Nikarima. And for the Tigers, 3 to Aiden Caesar, 2 to Api Korosau, and 1 to Utika Manu.
Yeah, feels like Korosau is almost going to be the same as what I said for Cameron Murray, but at least he's going to score points because the Tigers are staying in contests a bit better.
And Stefano seems to score every week as well.
Yeah, he's very good. He's got Clemmer there with him, but it looks like he's surpassing Clemmer very quickly now. So, yes. You know, it's going
to
basically...
I think Clemmer's getting to the age where he's happy to play the supporting role, I think, and let the young one go for it a bit more.
Exactly, yeah. And that, look, you know, another Parramatta junior, but that's fine. We'll let them all go. That's not a problem.
You can't keep them all, mate.
You can't.
If you're the Roosters, you don't have any.
That's right. I don't know what the turning point is, but the Dolphins were in control of this pretty much the whole time. So,
yeah. I think it was The turning point was the previous 2 weeks. The Tigers have been up for it for 2 weeks, and it's hard to keep that level of enthusiasm and everything else going. And they are a young team, and there's a lot of, you know, inexperience in that team, and it's hard to just keep going. And another away trip to Queensland and all the rest of it. So, yeah.
Yeah. So this next game, the Cowboys and the Titans. I don't understand. I watched it and I still don't understand what happened. The Cowboys looked like they were going to just score 70. The Titans looked totally hapless. And then all of a sudden it was 28-22. And I mean, the Cowboys, you know, they steadied it and they got the tries. They got the points late and they won the game. But it just looked like they fell asleep for 20 minutes. I'm just not sure what happened.
Look, I think one of the things about the Titans is that they do seem to be a team that when things start going well for them, they get a little bit of a belief in themselves. And when things go wrong, their heads drop and they just pack it in. And they seemed, everything seemed to have gone, that can go wrong has gone wrong for them so far this year. But when Campbell injects himself in and his combination with Brimson, there's a bit of love there. And was it Fomor? Yeah, Bo Fomor had his best game in, well, he was injured all of last year. He had his best game so far this season. And there was a couple of moments where they found some combinations and they got the ball out. And Kelly had some really good moments where he got involved. And but then on the other side, you've got a halfback, Boyd, who, for every one good thing he does two things bad. And that's not something that you can have in a halfback. If you look at Townsend, for every one thing bad, he does two things good, usually. So you've got the opposite effect for these two sides in the halves. Foran was walking around on one leg for half the game. And yeah, they just, the Cows, I think, took their foot off the gas slightly. And the Titans came back and then they went, oh, okay, I think we might better just run on and get this finished out before they come back. But there's a couple of things there for the Titans to hang their hat on. At least they've scored some points.
True. I think that Foran getting injured and putting Brimson in the halves might actually have helped. I think that might be... I know they want to play Brimson as a centre and I know they want to try and fit everyone in there, but maybe they're going to realise that if you play Brimson in the halves, even if it's with Foran, he's better in the halves. He's not getting the ball in the centre. He's not getting involved. And especially playing at right centre, they're not going that way half the time. So it just seems strange to do it that. Yeah. To do that. All right. Well, I think that was all the games, wasn't it?
The 3-2-1s for that one was for Drinkwater.
Yeah.
Two for Robson, one for Dearden. And for the Titans, it was three for Brimson, two for Verrills, and one for Kelly. Verrills had a quiet little game off the bench, actually. He got involved in the second half. David Fabita started off brilliantly and then looked gassed. He looked absolutely shot. He couldn't even stand up and walk to the scrum at one point. He was gone. And I did want to say, give a big mention to Harley Smith-Shields, honorary Englishman, who... he's so honorary Englishman that every time the ball went near him, he tried to drop it. So
that was fantastic. He had a terrible game. Absolutely.
Oh, my God. It looked like, it was like watching me trying to play. That's what it looked like.
Well, the sad thing is that last year when he had his couple of cameos for Canberra and he's done in the past, he's been good. He's been solid. He's done his job and everything. And just, it's the Titans curse or something. Something's got to him and he's just, it wasn't a very good performance at all. You never know. Maybe we bounce back. I mean, the thing is, like we said last week, the Titans, in reacting to their loss, decided to drop both their wingers, or both their wingers were gone from the week before. So, you know, maybe they'll do that again if they've lost. They'll drop these two and bring up another two in.
Yeah, I don't know if the wingers were the problem, but I don't know what
the problem is. Well, can't hurt dropping them.
Maybe they should play... see which winger can play halfback.
Oh, well, you know, I'm sure both of them probably play halfback. I don't know very well, but they'll probably both give it a try.
Harley Smith Shields can't catch a ball, maybe he can kick a ball, so maybe that's where he used to go.
Yeah, very true.
Now, there wasn't a game in the capital, was there?
No, nothing happened. Let's move on.
No. Called it off, right?
I know one team wasn't there. Definitely wasn't there. It was pretty embarrassing.
Especially in that second half. Oh my God.
So, I watched it until I got to into 30 somewhere, and I just went, I can't take this anymore. This is gone. My wife tried to ask me to stop watching it earlier, but I want to be dedicated and watch to the end, but I just couldn't anymore. It just got really embarrassing. And I was just like, ugh. So, yeah. You don't even need to do the 3-2-1 for the Eels because they all deserve -5. The Raiders were good. I don't think they were great.
Hopgood. I will give Hopgood some credit for the power.
Yeah.
Hopgood was... And the guy that voted it said, put him down for 3. Yeah. And I put him down for 3 as well. Yeah. My 3-2-1 was 3 for Hopgood, 2 for Simonson.
Yeah.
That was my 3-2-1 for them.
Yeah.
but the guy did it, did Hopgood for 3, Pennacini 2, and Bowlow for 1.
Yeah.
For the Raiders...
Yeah.
Timoko for 3.
Definitely.
2 for Savage. And 1 for Smithies.
Yeah.
I also had Schiller, Tarponet, and Young all in the mix for a point. Mm-hmm. And when I did it...
You could even give Rapana a point just for coming back out after, you know, doing damage and then playing to the end of the game, basically.
I thought he was gone for all money. His kneecap was, like, sideways. I've got no idea how he managed to put it back in, but it didn't even look like it was in the right. His leg was pointing in the right direction at one point, and then he comes back out and plays. You're like, well, I had to off to you, mate, because you're braver than I am.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he can do himself any more damage, but he's gone now for another 5 weeks or something. They said, so that's not good.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, I think he sort of knew that and just wanted to get through the game.
So let's just get through the game and get it done.
I will eat my hat on Danny Levi. I think I say it every week, but he's proven me wrong over and over and over. So good on him.
Yeah. Okay, we'll get to the team list, but there's been a couple of changes that have been made by the Eels, but I don't know if it's going to do any good. So we should move on. Let's move on to the teams for this week.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So first game, it's the Knights against the Roosters. A couple of changes for the Roosters. The Knights, no changes, but the Roosters have who have they got? Joey Manu at fullback, Connor Watson is 5'8", Luke Curry's going to play 7, Junior Palgua in the back line for Dom Young, along with Michael Jennings. He played last week, but he's back in. And Zach Docker-Clay, the former under-20s Parramatta halfback, playing as a lock, I think he plays nowadays. And a couple of moves around with Nat Butcher in the second row, Egan out at 17, and Tupanua back in the bench. So you're the Roosters fan. Are you reasonably happy with what they've come back with?
Based on... who they had out. I was surprised Egan Butcher was down to the bench, but yeah, Docker-Clay is going to come in and play that utility kind of role, see if he can fit in. You said he was previously a halfback, so that's sort
been
of...
been a long time since he was a halfback, though. Every time I've seen him play,
he's obviously got some ball playing about him, so that's going to be a link sort of position and be a big sort of big body in the middle as well. But yeah, Sualee and Jennings in the centres and Tupo and Palga on the wings. Connor Watson, I think, is a good choice at 6 based on who else they've got available. So,
yeah. I found it interesting because a lot of people laughed or sort of made a bit of fun of, you know, the Roosters signing Michael Jennings and people saying he won't play first grade and whatever. But yeah, well, he might get a bit of a spell now. So interesting.
Well, he didn't do himself any disservice with what he did in that second half against the Dogs, so he was there, he was around, so you know.
Yeah,
you got to favour the Knights after that strong win. Surely.
You do, but I just don't know what the Knights are going to produce. Like, it's... I thought round one they would be comfortably winners, and they weren't. So, you know, I don't know. But I feel like if you're on odds and on, you know, if you're making a tip, you definitely go Knights. But you never know, the Roosters can turn it around. And, yeah, they've still got a lot of quality.
That Kuypers Paul has impressed me over and over. Thompson had his best game since last season, last week. The Saifidi brothers, Daniel had his best game since last year. I think that having that the lineup they've got now, they seem to have sort of fallen into their best lineup. Bradman Best is, you know, they need to get him free a little bit. But Jenkins looks all right in that number two jersey. And I quite liked how they played last week. And I think that they, you know, they could be discovering a little bit of their form from last year, hopefully, for them. So, yeah, we'll see. Will Price to look out for in the reserves coming through.
Yeah, see if he also gets a go. Obviously, son of very famous Leon Price. So let's see if he's... And over in England was becoming a bit of a star over there, so I'd be interested to see if he gets a go. Okay, next one is the Storm against the Bulldogs. I don't think many people are giving the Bulldogs a chance, but, you know, maybe they should have some chance. The Storm bring...
You're always a chance, but yeah.
Storm bring Tepo Moroa in for Jack Howarth, and the Bulldogs have got to reshuffle because of the injuries they've got, so Tafa's out. So Crichton goes to fullback, Carrez goes to the centre, Adokar comes back from his concussion, Kurt Mann is out, and our favourite lock of all time, Jamin Salmon's back at 13 again. Josh Curran goes into the second row, and then there's a couple of younger guys, Bailey Howard, haven't heard of him before, and Farmusili.
Farmusili.
Yeah. I don't want to say them wrong, so I want to say them slower so I can try and get it right. Those two are on the bench. Interesting. Still poor Toby Sexton sitting there on the in the reserves, but maybe one day he'll get a go.
Bizarre. They're still going with Hutch. Hutch just looks like he's gassed half the time.
Yeah,
they need to replace that. You know, you can't have a part time halfback. It doesn't work. I think he needs to be the guy that comes on. If they're not going to, you know, a bench 17 kind of thing, if you're going to play with 16 players, but I don't see that's really an advantage either.
Yeah. I don't think the Bulldogs are going to win, but I don't see... I don't know. I feel like the Storm are going to be way too good, but my tipping this year is terrible, so I might be completely wrong with that.
Yeah, if you're going to do 52% on someone, I think a solid pick this week would be the Storm.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see that the Dogs getting this one done. I think they're going to get smacked, and I think I'm going to enjoy watching them get smacked. So it's a bit of vengeance from a bitter person.
Fair enough. All right, next one up is Broncos against the Dolphins. So the top of the table Dolphins, and the Broncos are in like 13th or something. But they get Reece Walsh back. So Tristan Saylor's back on the interchange. Jock Madden's there for Adam Reynolds. Corey Oates is on the wing for Dean Mariner. And Xavier Willison comes back onto the bench. So, they're getting stronger. It's kind of losing Adam Reynolds is not helping, but that gets them a bit stronger. Herbie Farmworth, Felice Kafusi. So they've got Tessie New. Ooh, that could be dangerous at centre. And Jared Wallace joins the bench. Kemi Bromish going back in the back row. And Milford in the squad, replacing Kurt Donoghue.
How long is Herbie Farmworth out?
I don't know. It just says he's out here.
To be confirmed. Yeah. Return. Okay. Yeah. Put your house on the Broncos. Tessie New. If you're doing the Hyper M's, you'll just put 17 errors in front of his name before you start.
Fair enough.
Save your chicken and save him ticking later.
Yeah, definitely. It's yeah, I mean, the Broncos will be weakened because they won't have... I mean, Jock Madden does an okay job. He's steady. But without Adam Reynolds, they aren't quite the same team. Still, obviously, no Payne Haas as well. You know, maybe the forwards of the Dolphins will be able to match it with them. But, yeah, I just look at the matchups and I just think, you know, the Broncos should win this one in a canter.
I think they're going to try Jock Madden. I think if it doesn't work, they'll bring Tristan Saylor in and play him in the halves with Ezra Mann.
Yeah.
I think that that's probably what they're probably looking at that and going, okay, well, we'll give Jock Madden a go, and if he really just doesn't get it worked out with Mann, we can bring on Saylor, have some high energy, and we've also got Tyson Smoothie who can come on in a pinch and play a sort of more solid distribution role as well. So they've got a couple of choices, the Broncos, and I'm actually surprised that they've gone with Smoothie and Saylor on the bench. I'd put Saylor in number 7 and had Smoothie as a backup and put a couple of an extra bigger body on the bench.
Yeah, so the bench of the Dolphins is a little bit bigger. I don't think there's a lot of impact there, but they've still got a lot of bigger guys. So yeah, maybe, you know.
Don't be dissing my man, Jared Wallace.
No, I'm just saying he's not really an impact player, is he?
Well, he has the ability to impact in more than one way.
Yeah, true.
For good or for bad. But I think you're right. It's Broncos all the way. But, you know, there's a couple of places where Jeremy Marshall King around the ruck. But yeah, I don't give them much hope. The Dolphins.
No, I'd be going Broncos in this one. So next one is the Warriors against the Seagulls. So the Giants laying Seagulls have to go across to New Zealand and try and win. Interestingly, Tuivasa-Sheck's going back into the centres. Watini's Lesniak is back on the wing. We've got, who else? Kurt Capewell's back from his concussion. So that means Adam Pompey's out, which is a shame. And Mitch Barnett.
You play quite well, Pompey.
Yeah. Barnett goes back to prop, and Bunny Afoa's out with a hamstring injury. The Seagulls, Trbojevic goes from the back row to the centres to replace Ruben Garrick. And Corey Waddell comes into the starting pack. Ethan Bulliemore joins the bench. So, you know, they played well last week and. It'd be interesting. Ben Trbojevic looks like he could still play centre, but I just worry about... I don't know who he's going to mark up against, if it's Rockabera or Tuivasa-Sheck, but either one, it's going to be a real big challenge for him defensively. So, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, look, Ben... He played really well last week, and it always worries me when somebody who's a second rower goes into the centres, because I just think you just lose that strike, but I think he's still got enough speed about him. Got good footwork, and he's a brilliant defender. So you kind of, I think that there's two. This will be probably the most fascinating matchup of the week, and I'll be staying well away from it in any kind of predictions as far as the 52% go. But yeah, I Warriors at home, you got to give them favoritism, but. That Manly side have the ability to shock and pull off, a surprise. So if Brown and Sippy can replicate what they did off the bench last week, then they're a chance. But that Warriors team just play so well as a unit. And good to see Harris Tavita and Tamari Martin and a few others coming in and, you know, having a spell and getting things done when they need to. So Chaz Tavanga and... off the bench as well. But yeah, it's going to be a fascinating matchup.
Look, I think I'd go Warriors on this one, but I'm totally with you. I could see the Seagulls winning, but yeah, I think Warriors are probably just going to be too good for them.
How good was it to see Chance back, by the way, last week for the Warriors?
Yeah, it was great. It's great. They've got too many outside backs. That's the problem.
Yeah, when you support a club, you haven't got any. You can never have too many. Yeah. But they are just, and they got some absolute talents there, haven't they?
Yeah, definitely. definitely.
One of the most entertaining teams to watch every week.
Yeah, definitely. All right, the next one is... Oh, God. The Eels playing the Cowboys. So, apparently, Brad Arthur has swung the axe. I don't know if it's this is swinging the axe or this is just moving a few players around. But so, Sivo's gotten dropped. Rimmer Greg's dropped. Blaise Talangi got dropped as well. So, that means they've brought in Morgan Harper to play centre. So, Simonson goes out to the wing, which I'm not a big fan of because I think Simonson's a better singer than centre and a winger. Dejan Arce, he gets the go at number six. I didn't see them, obviously didn't see them play reserve grade last week, but he hasn't been impressing me much in the games that I've seen. So hopefully he turns it around in first grade and he's good. And then Bryce Cartwright comes back. So that means Tolangi goes back to the bench. The Cowboys bring in Tom Chester for Zach Labert, who had an ACL injury for out for the year. And the only other thing that notes here is that Vallejo is on the extended bench or something. But yeah, look, I just hope it's not a massive. I hope they don't put 50 on us because they really could.
Yeah, look, I think for the Eels, what's good is getting Bryce Cartwright back in the side because he was playing brilliantly before he was out. That does strengthen up your side. I think Joe O and Madison Tuolungi on the bench. And Moretti actually plays well in parts for you guys.
He does.
I kind of like him.
He made it. Yeah, I've liked him since last year, but he made a really bad error last week with terrible one when he first came on, and his confidence was blown. But yeah.
But he did some good things as well. I had him down with a couple of ticks next to him. So I think your major problem is in the hooking role. I think the Cowboys, Reece Robson is usually one of the better players on the park. He steers the Cowboys around. He gets their forwards going really well. He's a clever player. He can hold the ball up when he needs to, catch players out and put them in two minds, very much like Wade Egan does for the Warriors. And he just is a clever, clever, clever player. Joey Lussick just isn't. He passes to every part of the body that's not the hands and then stands there and flaps his arms around. I don't understand why they haven't decided to go with someone else in the number nine. Is there anybody?
There's a guy who has the name of Hands who probably should be playing there. Also, which is really sad for...
Where is he? He's not even in the reserves. He's not in the 22.
Playing New South Wales Cup, I think. Yeah, probably playing number six in New South Wales Cup, I'd imagine, because that's what they've been doing. I don't know what they're doing now. The other thing which is really sad is you kept heaping praise on Reece Robson, and the sad thing is that Reece Robson was offered to the Eels 2 years ago for last year, and Parramatta went, no, we don't want him.
We'll go to Super League and find somebody.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, what they did is they picked up... A pretty much close to retirement Englishman who didn't last more than about five games, and then they put the SOS call back to England to try and show it.
That was a strange replacement. I'm sorry.
I don't understand it. That apparently the two players that they were offered was Reeps Robson and Sam Verrills, and they said no to both of those, and apparently they were offered a lower price.
I love Sam Verrills because I'm a Roosters man and he, played in the grand final and the rest of it. But I understand anyone's reticence to sign him with his injury.
I don't understand why we didn't sign Reece Robson. We could. The thing was, it was 2020. It was the start of 2022, so it was we knew Marnie was going, and it was like, okay, well, we know he's going. Who are we going to replace him with? And the agent came around and said, hey, Reece Robson's available, and we went, nah, he's probably. We probably should go with a more experienced player. So we decided to go with someone who didn't last very long. What a turning moment that could have been.
His kneecaps were never going to last more than five rounds. I don't understand why the... I mean, I'm not going to bag an Englishman, but, he'd had a brilliant run at the Raiders and... it wasn't the right decision. Reece Robson was the right man, and the Cowboys are now proving it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, I don't think the Eels are getting anywhere close, but I hope they do. And
yeah,
we might just want to move on from that one because I don't want to talk about it anymore. The Rabbitohs against the Sharks. Obviously, with Trent Mitchell's out, they bring in a guy for his debut, Jai Gray. Don't know much about him.
He's about 3'2".
Yeah, he looks like it. Tyrone Munro, who's got... His name doesn't sound like it's real because it's because it kind of rhymes with itself. He's back. They've dropped Cook and they put in Mamazoulis on the Mamazoulo. And they've got Shaq Mitchell on the bench. Salif Havili and Davey Moali. Kepi and Talis Duncan have been really out of reserve. So certainly moving some players around. I don't know if it's going to do much, but that's interesting. And obviously they had the bye last week, but they've got Britt Nakora coming back. Talakai goes onto the bench. And yeah, a couple of players around in the reserves. But yeah, look, I don't know if this is the week the Souths click into gear, but I just don't know if it's... I don't understand if the Sharks are a good side or not, because they really weren't good against the West Tigers. And, you know, obviously they've now had this bye as well. Are they going to come back a bit better, or are they going to be too good for Souths, or is Souths going to finally do something? I couldn't pick this game. This would be the one that I wouldn't put anything on, 50%, because either side could just run away with this one.
Yeah. And Tyrone Munro, he's got the name of one of those players. If you were inventing a computer game for rugby league,
yep,
he'd be like a player I'd make up. That would be one of the names I'd probably choose for an imaginary player that I was going to play. So let's see if he's actually real when he gets on the field.
Well, when you say that about imaginary players, so many games, because what a lot of them will do is they'll put all the first names of current players or previous players and all the last names, and you end up with some of the funniest ones you've ever seen. Like, and I feel like Tyrone Munro is, you know, two players' names that don't belong together.
maybe so. What did you think of Peter Mamazelos? Did you see any of him in that game against last week for South?
No, I didn't watch it. Unfortunately, I was visiting my dad, and I heard it on the radio, heard a bit of it, but on the radio you can't really tell. But it didn't sound. It didn't sound like he was that involved, but yeah. Did you see any of it?
I watched the game, and the only game I didn't watch all of was the Tigers last week. I watched every other game in full. He did a couple of things that you thought, oh, who's this guy? You know, and he just went, he's playing all right. So it's interesting to see that he's replaced Damien Cook, and I don't know if Cookie's got any sort of knock, or they're protecting him, or just whether he's just straight out been dropped. There's nothing on the injury list.
I think he's just been dropped, from what I can figure out. It's a straight, we're dropping you.
Yeah, I think because Havili is back from his injury. So did he have a concussion protocols?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I know Shaq Mitchell had concussion protocols, so he came back as well.
Hmm.
But, yes, maybe they're just going to go, okay, we'll see if this combination works.
Yep, but try it for a week and see if it works.
That's it. Look, I think that the Sharks got humiliated against the Tigers. I think they have that history of beating up smaller teams and not, you know, I think they got into their heads that they could just beat up the Tigers and walk away with it and not actually have to try. And when the Tigers lifted and came back, I think it caught them a little bit unawares. And sometimes it's all about, you know, how much you want it and how focused you are and how much you're prepared and how much you're up for it yourselves.
Hmm.
And I think they got caught in an off week. I am expecting the Sharks to get this one. But the thing about the Sharks is, they've got Hazleton starting, and I don't think he's really a starter. So I think they still have a weakness in their forwards. Now, Rudolph is back on, and Hamlin Ueli are both back on in the reserves. I don't know if they're going to make any late changes, but I think Hazleton's that impact player off the bench. I don't know if he's a full-blown starter. And Oregon Kafusi has not shown me enough. Blake Braley's good. Nakora's good. Their back line is fantastic. Their back row is good. But then so is South's.
Yeah.
Konamatangi. Jacob Host has been quietly improving. He has spells where he's actually looks quite good. And Murray is always their best player.
Yeah.
So let's see. Let's see. Maybe this is South's comeback. But I hope not. Go Sharkies.
Fair enough. All right, next one up is the West Tigers and the Dragons. This one is also quite tough. So Bateman's out. Safe Arthur goes in the starting side. And then both the Fainus are out. So Matamua and Kapoa come back into the team. And Simpkins on the bench. The Dragons, they've got Hame Sele, the ham sandwich, in the prop for Jack DeBell. And he's going to go back to the bench. And then Molo goes out. Eisenhuth got named at lock, Blake Rory in the bench. Jack Bird's been named despite that leg injury. So I really like the Tigers in this one, but I don't know. It depends on what team you get from the Dragons. Because round one, I mean, I know the Titans were terrible. Round one, Dragons were good. Then round two were poor. So, you know, they weren't that bad last week, but
they were good for half a game last week.
Yeah, and it just depends. It depends on which West Tigers team it is, which Dragons team it is. But yeah, I could see this going either way.
I just think that in that second half, the Dragons forgot to bring out their flippers, and that was a problem against the Knights.
Yeah.
Look, I think this is the most 50-50 coin toss of the entire weekend. It really is. Mm. I think that there's opportunities for both sides, but there's also just dangers for both sides as well. And I keep wanting to talk myself into the Tigers, but every time I do that, it falls flat. So I'm probably going to go with the Dragons, but my heart's going to be on the Tigers. I think the tip is going to be with the Dragons, but I will be cheering the Tigers along all the way. I just hope they don't break my heart again.
I always cheer the West Tigers, but when they're not playing my team. But yeah, I just don't know. You just don't know with them. And it'd be very frustrating for both fan bases. At least the Tigers, they have an excuse if they want it, but I don't want them to have that excuse. I would like them to go out there and play as good as they played the last few weeks. You know, I think they were great against the Sharks. I think they were good against the Eels. I think the Eels played quite poorly, but they were good enough to kind of, stay in that game. And, you know, like against the Dolphins, they didn't really look in it. But I think against the Dragons, they should be good enough to beat them. I just don't know what they're going to do. So,
The real difference here is that the Dragons, to me, look like they got the stronger bench. If they are still in striking distance when the back end of each half, then I think the Dragons can make an impact with Laurie de Bellin and Vitala Mariner coming off the bench. They can possibly be the difference makers. And I think that if the Tigers want to get this one, they need to get a bit of a lead and they need to try and hold on to it when the changes come. So if they can get some early tries and start making the Dragons force the passes and make mistakes, the Tigers will get it. But if it's close at the back end of each half, I think the Dragons will run over the top of them.
Definitely. All right, so last game of the round, we've got the Raiders against the Titans. So we talked about George Rapana. He's going to be out for 5 weeks, I think it was, or 6 weeks, something like that. Chevy Stewart comes in for his debut. Zach Hosking comes back, and Mariota goes back to the bench, and Corey Hosmer drops off. Sasagi's off as well, and they bring in Trey Mooney. The Titans, they've named Foran despite the ankle injury. I don't know if he's playing or not. And then Liu's coming back from the concussion, so Stimson goes out. Look, I'd be very surprised if the Titans win, but the Raiders, I thought last week, I really did think that the Eels were a chance against the Raiders, because I really don't think they're that good. But at home, they're very hard to beat. And I don't think the Titans are going to have much of a chance. Even without Rapana, I think Chevy Stewart will do a good enough job. You know, the rest of the team is just much more quality than what the Titans have got.
If your first name is Chevy,
You've
got to have a motor, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
100%. I am very, very high on the Raiders, probably more so than anybody else I know. I think that they are a well-balanced, they're a good team, they're an exciting team. They've got speed galore out wide. Their centre pairings, Sebastian Chris, I'm a huge fan of, and Tomoko, oh man, he's just every week, he just blows me away. I love him. Hudson Young's coming back in, Tarpanay every week is fantastic. Morgan Smithies is looking good. He's, you know, finding his feet down there, and he's not from Milton Keynes, so I don't know what his liking of Canberra is, but he seems to be enjoying himself. And that Salo off the bench, number 17, every week he puts in a solid performance. He is a very big, rangy, mobile forward. I like him a lot. Parramatta should put in for Zach Wolford and ask him to go up there and play for them, because he's wasted in the bench in not doing anything for that for the Raiders. It's just get him to Parramatta right now and he'll get a game straight away.
We'll do a deal. We'll take him, we'll take Albert Hopewadi, and they can have Ethan Sanders. I don't really care. We need a hooker and we need some outside backs.
Well, you could probably take KO Weeks off them as well. They're not playing him.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know if I want KO Weeks, but definitely want one of these outside backs. I mean, they've got so many. They've got Xavier Savage sitting on the wing there, almost being wasted. And they, like I said, Hopaway's not even playing. Who knows? Still got Kotrick in the body reserves too. Like, it's ridiculous what they've got there.
I don't see a path for victory for the Titans. I really don't. I was driving along Pittwater Road earlier, and I saw a traffic cone being put out by one of the guys who's doing some road works, and I think that traffic cone has got its number 7 for the Titans written all over its back. So and that's a change Tanner Boyd for the traffic cone, and I think they'll be a better team.
Possibly.
Yeah, look, I don't know what they're going to do, because they don't seem to believe in each other, and they haven't worked out that maybe they just need to put Brimson in the halves, drop Boyd, and, you know, see what happens, and bring back, you know, maybe moving someone else into the centres, maybe bring back Carm Pereira, put him in the centres. He's as fast as lightning. Hmm. He's probably not played much centres, but just, you know, how much worse could you get?
I'm sure they could work something out. I think Jojo Fifita's played centre before, so, you know.
Yeah, move Pereira onto the wing, put Fifita in the centres, and, but this Raiders team will put... If the Raiders team don't put at least 30 on them, they're kidding themselves. I think it'll be an easy win for them.
I think so too. All right, that's it. That's the last of the games. So, hope you all enjoy the weekend, and hope your teams do well, unless you're a Cowboys fan, and I hope they do terribly. But all right. Thanks for joining me, Richard, and I think we'll head off and let everyone enjoy the footy.
Thank you for having me, David, and enjoy the football.